This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Hi, welcome to Perspectives on Faith. I'm your host, Metin Tekke. This week, we're coming from Hartford Seminary in Connecticut. We have with us today Dr. Ingrid Mattson. She's a professor of Islamic Studies at Hartford University, and she's also the president of the Islamic Society of North America. Dr. Mattson, thank you for coming on our show.
You're welcome.
Would you describe the gender stratification of the society in which Prophet Muhammad grew up in?
What you have to understand about pre-Islamic Arabian society, first of all, is that it was a society in which there was no rule of law. There was no political structure that was governing the Arabian Peninsula. The only ruling powers were tribes that were in mutual rivalry. These tribes became or operated in a way similar to a gang structure. What that means is that the only way to have power, the only way to promote your interests, is by using brute force. The tribes are highly territorial and are in constant conflict with each other. A society like this values strength, force, and is highly militarized. What that means is that for women, their position is secondary to that of men who through their strength and through their violence, exercise their will. So the basic structure of this society is one in which women, as mostly non-combatants, are in a secondary position to men.
So why would women respond positively to the message of Muhammad?
The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, both through his attitude and as the messenger of God with the Quran that he received from God, brought a message that women are equal to men in their value. And not only that, that in fact how you value a human being is not through their brute strength, not through their ability to dominate, but in fact their ability to submit themselves to God. So there's a whole different paradigm shift of what makes a human being valuable. In pre-Islamic Arabia, what made a human being valuable was to be a dominant warrior, someone who by whatever means necessary, subjected other people to his will. What the Quran says is that the person who is valuable, in akramakum indallahi atqakum, is the one who is most noble in the eyes of God, is the one who has most awareness of God. That awareness is something that can be gained by either a man or a woman. That your gender has nothing to do with whether you have the ability to submit yourself to God. So there's a completely different assessment of the value of a human being according to the Quran, the Quranic paradigm.
Could you provide examples of these women's responses, initial responses to Muhammad's message?
Well, as is well known, the first person who responded to the Prophet Muhammad's message was his wife Khadija. Khadija, who was really in all ways a full partner to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. She was a mature woman who was financially independent, who had her professional career. And she and her husband really were in all ways full partners, raising their family, having their business. She knew him, as a woman knows her husband, better than anyone. And when he received the call by God to come and bring this message. She was the first to respond to him and supported him and believed in him. But, you know, it didn't stop there. In fact, women were among the early supporters of the Prophet Muhammad. You had not only women like Khadija, who was a free woman of high status, but a woman like Sumayya, who was a slave woman, who was in a highly degraded position, and for whom this message of Islam was one of her dignity, even in a, if it appeared by all objective measures that she was the most degraded person in Meccan society.
How were these women participating in the public realm of Mecca?
Muslim women in Mecca experienced hardship to the same degree that men did. We find that, for example, the first martyr in Islam was Sumayya, who was murdered in a brutal fashion by Abu Jahl for being a Muslim. Because there was no recognition in Mecca, in the political order of Mecca, of individual human rights, it was possible for someone, a so-called free man, to kill a slave with impunity. Among the other women were Khadija and the other women of the Banu Hashim, the clan of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who were boycotted by the rest of Quraysh for 3 years, who had to live on the outskirts of Mecca and were deprived of meaningful sustenance. In fact, we know that Khadija died because she was weakened by the boycott. She and other women suffered along with the male believers in that situation. Women also were among the delegation that left Mecca at the command of the Prophet Muhammad to seek refuge with the ruler of Abyssinia, a good Christian king who gave refuge and comfort to the Muslims who were persecuted in Mecca. Women were there with the men. So Muslim women were beside the men at all stages in the Meccan period.